Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. I'll be reading from the New International Version. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what it was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee, and the Gentiles, the people living in darkness, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them.
Picture before you is Capernaum, right there on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus' ministry began in Capernaum. And if you've ever visited the Holy Land, there's a good chance that you visited Capernaum. As you can see from the picture, it is absolutely beautiful. Sits on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. A lovely, lovely setting. In general, the area around the Sea of Galilee is lush and fertile, all lovely, in a stark contrast with the surrounding areas, especially southern Israel, which is mostly desert and wilderness. You see in the picture a 4th century synagogue, that's the old building, the old ruins, and it sits on the exact spot of the synagogue where Jesus would have taught. And the layout is just the same. Just to, well, at least to my left, looking at the image, is a modern structure. That is a church built right over top, and they have a glass floor, right over top what we believe was the home of Simon Peter. And then you see all the first century ruins all over. But an amazing place, and when you are in Capernaum, you are indeed walking where Jesus walked. James Michener, in his novel, The Source, referred to the Sea of Galilee as the Whispering Sea, in contrast to the Mediterranean, which he referred to as the Roaring Sea. And of course, there were times on the Galilee that it was anything but whispering. We know from the Bible that storms and violent storms could wash up very quickly on the disciples, and they were absolutely terrified. But the rest of the time, and in fact most of the time, the Sea of Galilee looked like that. Tranquil, soft, and gentle. As beautiful as any body of water could be. And I can understand why people would have wanted to call it home. I count it one of the top blessings in my life that I was able to visit there, and standing on the Sea of Galilee either late at night or early in the morning was among the most sacred things I have ever done in my life. I will treasure that forever. So after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, just on the south side of that Sea of Galilee, and after he spent 40 days in the wilderness, fasting, relying on God, being tempted by Satan, he came back home. And he moved his hometown from Nazareth to Capernaum there. And there his ministry began. Now, we don't know why he moved. Matthew's gospel doesn't give us a reason. Matthew links it to a prophecy, but he wouldn't have had to have moved to fulfill that prophecy because Nazareth was also in the same land, the land of Naphtali. So either way, Nazareth or Capernaum, the prophecy would have been fulfilled. It may have had something to do with Jesus' rejection at Nazareth. You remember that? He was rejected in his hometown. Understandably. Hey, isn't that Joseph's boy? Hey, isn't that that little kid that was just running around town here? Hey, isn't that that kid that worked by Joseph's side in his carpenter's workshop? Yeah, that's him. You can imagine how hard it would be for Jesus' own people in his own hometown to accept him and see him as a prophet or a Messiah. They knew him in a much different capacity. How could he possibly be a prophet or yet alone a Messiah? And so perhaps Jesus needed to move on. Start over. Start fresh where people would see him as he truly is, as prophet and Messiah. His entire ministry around the Galilee lasted just 3 years. And that's hard to imagine as well when we think about this 2,000 plus year tradition of Christianity. It's all based essentially on this 3 year stint. 2,000 years of the world history. 3 short years, Jesus changed the world. In 3 short years, nothing would ever be the same again. If that's not God at work, I don't know what is. Jesus' primary message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And Matthew's gospel frequently refers to the kingdom of heaven as opposed to the kingdom of God, probably a reflection of Matthew's devout Judaism. Devout and faithful Jews were reluctant to use God's name, so it was preferred to call it the kingdom of heaven as opposed to the kingdom of God. But it refers to the same thing. Both kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God refer to that time and place, both in heaven and on earth, where God's rule, God's ways are in effect. Well, this is the heart of Jesus' message. God's kingdom has come near. God's kingdom is in effect. God's ways are before you. Heaven has come down to earth. And not only has heaven come down to earth, heaven has come down to earth, Jesus said, in me, through me. This was remarkable and radical. And it would have been hard for anyone to accept, but that was the point. Yes, this is Joseph's boy. Yes, this is that kid who was just running around at our feet not that long ago. Yes, this is the one who worked in his father's carpentry shop. This is the one who's now ushering in God's kingdom. When you stand in his presence, you're standing in the presence of God. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it wasn't terribly easy for people to accept back then. Quite frankly, it's not terribly easy for people to accept today. But that's what we're saying. When you stand in the presence of Jesus, you're standing in the presence of God. And if we accept that, then the message is repent. Repent. Turn away from the things that are not of God. Turn toward the things that are of God. To be a follower of Jesus is to demonstrate a change in one's lifestyle. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was a wretch, but now I'm saved. The call of Jesus is a transforming call. Now, Capernaum wasn't only Jesus' hometown, it was Simon Peter's hometown as well. His name was Simon. They nicknamed him Peter. Peter meaning the rock. Simon the rock. On this rock I will build my foundation. On this rock I will build my church. Simon Peter, born and raised in Capernaum. Spent his whole life in that little village, growing up on the shores of the Galilee, watching the fishermen roll in and roll out, watching the great hauls of fish, watching the fishermen mend their nets, and eventually becoming a fisherman himself, along with his brother, Andrew, and probably much like their father. And it was home to James and John, also like their father, Zebedee, who was still fishing at the time. So Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, and even Zebedee, though not among the 12, but even Zebedee was there, fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. To live in Capernaum was to live off the sea. The sea was life. It could either fill your heart and soul and fill your belly, or it could leave you empty. That was life in the ancient world, living dependently off land and sea. 3 meals a day was not guaranteed. Life and security and happiness was not guaranteed. It was a hard life, and sometimes you went without. This was the world into which Jesus had settled, and he embraced that life. And he walked along the beaches on the shores of the Galilee. And we know he even walked out on the water, on the Sea of Galilee. And I imagine that he too enjoyed watching the fishermen roll in and roll out. And he too enjoyed watching the fishermen mend their nets and tell their stories. And that's where he first met up with those disciples. While hard at work, he came crashing into their lives like one of those storms on the Galilee. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. For people. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Amazingly enough, they did, which is astonishing. There must have been something incredibly compelling about that call, because as far as we know, there was no resistance. They dropped their nets and they followed him. Who would do such a thing? It's extraordinary and somewhat unusual. It only makes sense to us because we know Jesus. But you got to think from their shoes for a moment. He is a complete stranger, the new guy in town, and here he walks into their lives and says, follow me, and they do. Put that into perspective in your jobs, in your work. Some guy, some stranger comes wandering up to you. Put down your pen. Step away from the keyboard. Step away from the classroom. Step away from the office. Step away from the scrubs. Step away from the business attire. Step away from whatever it is you're doing and come and follow me. Would you do it? Probably not. You'd probably call security. And if you did decide to follow him, well, you must be miserable at work. Or, there was something so compelling about this person. So compelling about this call that you were willing to risk everything, drop everything, and follow him. The disciples weren't miserable at work. Work was the only thing they knew. They didn't have a choice. That's what you did. You went to work. It wasn't a choice of going to work or going to Disneyland. It wasn't a choice of going to work or going to a 10-day paid holiday at some all-inclusive resort. The choice was work or go hungry. And so work was a pretty good option. But for whatever reason, Jesus called to them was so compelling that they were willing to drop everything and follow him, leave their nets, leave their homes, leave their friends, leave their jobs, leave their community, leave their support structure, leave their livelihood, their entire existence, to step out in faith into the unknown and to follow that which is yet to be. That either demonstrates incredible faith or an incredible calling from the one who called them, or both. When I was in seminary, I met people who had done this. given up everything, gave up their jobs, gave up their six-figure salaries to start over, start with nothing, go back to school, embark on a new ministry, and step out into the unknown. And I tell you, when I say unknown, I mean it. Sometimes in ministry, your catch is full. Sometimes in ministry, your catch is empty. And sometimes in ministry, your heart is full. And sometimes in ministry, your heart is empty. That's life. That's just the way it is. But you step out in faith, hoping and trusting that this call is real because it has incredible power over your life. And once it's got you, it's got you, and you're not getting out. You're caught in the net, not the net of death. You're caught in the net of life. And from that net, there is no escape. It was unusual for rabbis. In fact, unheard of, really, for rabbis to search out their own disciples. Rabbis didn't do that. They taught in the temple or the synagogues, and followers came to them. Students came to them. They didn't go out to students. So there's something unusual about Jesus in and of itself, that Jesus, as a rabbi, would go out to them in their office, in their workplace, the sandy beaches of the shore of Galilee. There's something special about this guy. Jesus, this rabbi, has come to us, symbolic perhaps of heaven coming down to us. Heaven now on earth. Jesus Christ now among us. Jesus on the shores of the Galilee. And he noticed something different about them too, something that made them stand out, maybe because they understood that nothing was guaranteed in life, maybe because they understood that fishing required teamwork and trust and sticking together. Maybe because they knew that they had been through storms together and Jesus needed somebody who's been through storms together. Whatever the reason, Jesus called and they responded. And whatever fears and apprehensions they had, it abated. And they followed Jesus. A rabbi tells a story about visiting one of the parks in Vancouver, British Columbia. It has a wonderful suspension bridge. There's a couple parks in Vancouver that have these wonderful suspension bridge. Hikers can walk out across a rocky gorge and swing and be suspended 230 feet over this rocky gorge below. Doesn't that sound like fun? For some, it is absolutely exhilarating. For others, it is absolutely terrifying. For this rabbi, it was absolutely terrifying. A fellow hiker on the bridge gave him some advice: hold on to the rope and don't look down. Look straight ahead and just keep walking. Now, for me, that defies the whole purpose. The whole purpose of going out on that bridge is to stand and look over and feel the wind swinging you back and forth. That's the whole point, but not for everybody. Not everybody loves to do that kind of thing. Some people hold on to the rope, don't look down, keep your eyes fixed ahead, and just keep walking. The rabbi heeded the advice, and he made it to the end. Perhaps that's what discipleship takes. We're not as likely to drop our nets. We're not as likely to drop everything. We're not as likely to give everything. We're not as likely to give up everything. But sacrifice is still involved. Whether that sacrifice is giving from our resources, whether that sacrifice is giving from our hearts and our lives and our souls and giving of our time, whether that sacrifice involves loving differently from the way we've ever loved before, loving sacrificially, loving unconditionally, loving beyond measure. We're invited into a new way of life, like we've never lived before, a new way of living, a new way of loving. And if we take that seriously, it can be rather terrifying. Stepping out in faith, stepping out into the unknown, exhilarating and terrifying at the same time. But when we know the one who is calling us, when we trust the one who is calling us, these steps become not only possible, but life-giving. And if you're just a little bit scared, hold on to the rope. Don't look down. Look straight ahead. Follow your Savior's voice and just keep walking. Keep your eyes on God's kingdom. The only kingdom that matters. The kingdom of heaven. Heaven has come near. Thanks be to God. So be it. Amen.